turn with me, please, to the passage read in God's Word, Matthew chapter 9. As the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verses 32 to 34. Matthew chapter 9, reading in verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. When the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. The multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. And the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Matthew 9, verse 32 to 34. We find here the Lord Jesus in Capernaum, his own adopted city. And he's been busy there teaching and healing, raising the dead, doing wonderful miracles. It's difficult to know whether the whole of what is recorded in chapter 9 occurred in one day. If not, it was surely within a very short space of time. Here is all this busy activity. What is being revealed is this, that here is the one who is the Messiah, the one who has fulfilled the promise of the Old Testament, the Savior who was to come. Isaiah 35, the verse 5, we read of what was to happen in the days of Messiah. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as in heart, the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. What wonderful miracles. Even those who were possessed by demons were delivered. What's been revealed? That the Lord Jesus is the Christ, and that the Christ is a mighty Savior, worthy of your confidence. Well, we notice that displayed this evening. In this account of this dumb man who was possessed with the devil, who was delivered by the Lord Jesus. We notice three things in our text. First of all, you'll notice the man's bondage, the situation as dumb man possessed with the devil. And then secondly, we shall notice Christ's deliverance. And then thirdly, the onlooker's response. First of all, the man's bondage. What was the situation that this man found himself in? Well, you'll notice that he was subjected to a bondage that was demonic. We read, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Here was a man who was actually subject to demon possession. That is, an evil spirit had taken control of him, was, as it were, dwelling within him and influencing him and using him, dominating his old personality so that he acted in the way that he did. He was demon-possessed. Now we find that that was not an uncommon thing in the New Testament time, and especially in the Judea during this time. And we might be surprised, because here is this occurring where within the boundary of the land where the church of God was to be found, within Israel. What are we seeing? But the malice of Satan and his determination to do anything he can to disrupt the church of God, and especially as Christ is coming to preach the good news of the kingdom and to call souls to repentance. It seems that there was an unusual amount of demonic activity to try and keep people from Christ. They're trying to work against him, to undermine his ministry, and to keep people from trusting in him. But of course, throughout time, and in all sorts of cultures, we find this demon possession showing itself. And especially where there is idolatry, where people have given over to idols and the worship of idols, which 1 Corinthians tells us is the worship of demons. Devil-inspired. Where there is such things, where there is spiritual ignorance, and especially where people have been given over to superstition, and you tend to find the rise of overt, obvious demonic activity and even demon possession. The religion of the Romans and the Greeks, which were dominating those who were not under the true religion in Palestine, they were given over to a grossly superstitious form of worship. And therefore it wasn't surprising to find demon possession amongst them. All around Israel we've got this activity. And as the Messiah comes, we find it certainly within Judea and Galilee itself. And today, you still get such things. I remember Mr. Fraser coming to speak at a missionary meeting in Kilfone, where I was a minister, and speaking of someone who had been a witch doctor, possessed by demons, being delivered. There's a slide of this man, you can see before and after. There he was in his regalia as a witch doctor, later on delivered. A reminder of the reality in many areas of demonic activity, especially where gross superstition prevails. There's a warning there, perhaps a warning especially for our young folk, because we're living in a day and age which is more and more open to these sort of things. Not that long ago, our problem was disbelief in the supernatural. The Western world seemed to be filled with Sadducees, those who denied angels and the supernatural, as the Sadducees of the biblical times did. But what's happening? We find that people, even in their own island, are into all sorts of occultish practices. They're open to these things. They'll hear of them on the radio. They can speak about these things. They're a biblical Christian. You'll find he's not allowed to speak. People will mock him. But you get someone talking about healing crystals and other such nonsense, and you find there's an openness and an ear for it. There's a warning there. The Bible gives warnings time and time again of the danger of dabbling in such things. And therefore we warn our young people especially to be aware, to be alert, to avoid these things, because they are real, because they are dangerous. And it is not true spirituality, it is the doorway to destruction. Here's this poor man, really possessed. But you might say, how does that relate to me? After all, do you know anyone tonight, personally, who is troubled with demon possession? Perhaps you might struggle to know anyone, think of anyone personally, who dabbles in these things. So as I say, they're coming more and more in to the Highlands and Islands. How does this relate to you and me? Well, remember, many are in bondage, even if they're not possessed as this man was. You see, what we have here is an extreme form of what can happen to man in his natural state. What is your state by nature? Your state by nature is as one who is dead in trespasses and sins, and who is under the influence of the evil one, of the prince of the power of the evil, the spirit who works in the children of disobedience, amongst whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. We were children of wrath, even as others. Paul saying, I was under his influence. I was under his leading. I was held in bondage by him. And I would do his works. Oh, what a powerful influence the evil one is. And you see, by nature, man is in bondage to sin and to Satan. And if your loyalty is not to God and to his Christ, then in the end of the day, you are under the banner and the influence of the evil one. Dominated by him, so that you will not resist him. Because you will rather give way to sin and to lust rather than to resist him. 2 Timothy, we find Paul saying to him, in a meek way, instruct those that oppose themselves. That is, they oppose what is good for themselves. They oppose the gospel. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may be recovered themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will, he is your plight. That there is this bondage that you are in to sin, and that you will not resist him, was a willful bondage. Adam fell, and he got himself into bondage to sin and to Satan. And your consent is to be there also. What a fearful plight. You read about these demoniacs, there's an extreme form of man's state. What a fearful state. Are you listening to the promptings of the evil one to sin and to ignore the gospel, to go your own way, to do your own thing? Yes, to be upright perhaps, to be good living, but without God at the center of your life, without Christ as the one who you rely upon to cleanse you, you're not following him. You're walking according to the way of the world. Friend, you're in bondage and you need liberated. You'll notice that this was a debilitating bondage. Here's this man. I would read that he was dumb. And it would appear that he is dumb because he is deaf. The word is used for both things, and it tends to be that it was deafness which produced the dumbness. It's obvious it's not a natural thing, because when the devil was cast out, the dumb speak. There were times when the Lord healed those who were just physically affected by disease, and at other times the disease was the result of demonic activity. Well, that is what you have here. You have this malevolence of the evil one, marring God's gift of speaking and hearing. Friend, are you spiritually dumb? or you praise and you pray, but is there a spiritual dumbness where really there is no spiritual prayer, where really there is no spiritual praise, where either you do not really bother to pray and to praise at all, unless summoned by others, by public worship or by family worship, or else you praise and you pray, but you don't do it in faith. You don't do it to God's glory. Yes, when you're concerned about something, you turn to Him and you ask for His help. Once He helps, He's out your thoughts till the next problem comes. Are you spiritually dumb? There's evidence of being in bondage to sin and to Satan. Are you spiritually dead? It seems this man is dumb because he is deaf. He can't really speak because he doesn't have an ear to hear, to learn how to speak. Oh, you hear much. But are you like Isaiah? As it was said about Isaiah 6, hearing they would not hear, seeing they would not see. You hear, but you don't understand. You hear, but you struggle to make sense of what you hear. What's the problem? You're not really trusting. The word is not mixed with faith. You want to tell God what the situation is, rather than listening to what God has to say to you. You will have peace with God in your terms, not in His terms. You will tell God what you are like, rather than receiving God's testimony about your need of salvation. There's a spiritual deafness. You're like the deaf father. It cannot be charmed. You hear the sweet overtures of the gospel. You're left scratching your head. Or saying that's for someone else. It's not for me. Oh, what a pitiful condition to be in. A dangerous condition. Because this was destructive. Look at this demoniac. Surely we can conclude his life was hard. He couldn't hear, couldn't speak. How often we find these demoniacs with a danger to themselves. Remember Legion. There's a wild man in the tombs. Oh, how sin ruins people, leaves them with no peace, leaves them with no contentment. Is that not true? Is that not the way you are tonight? Without God, without Christ, without true peace, without true happiness. It's destructive now. The Satan, you see, would rob you of life now, but more than that, he robs you of life everlasting. You see, what shall your destiny be? Oh, what a fearful thing if you're going to meet your judge, the Lord Jesus, the sweet, adorable, welcoming Lord Jesus, that there in the day of judgment, in His glory as the judge, and He shall say to you, "You're rejecting. Depart from me, ye cursed, into outer darkness." Is that place prepared for the devil and his angels, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? Friend, what a fearful thing. How can you go on, not seeing the danger you are in, stopping your ears to the truth and rejecting Christ? You'll notice this man's bondage would have deterred him even from coming to Christ. We read, "Behold, they brought to him a dumb man." He didn't wander up to Christ. He wasn't like these blind men who cried out for mercy. He's brought. You see, those who were poor demoniacs, they were possessed with evil spirits, feared Christ. Remember how Legion said, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" They were fearful of Christ and what he would do. Oh, how sin and how spiritual death keeps people from Christ. You should be thankful that there are those praying for you when you will not really pray for yourself. And there are those who will bring you to be under the gospel where Christ speaks through his servants and to impress upon you the truth and to call you to trust in him. Dear believer, remember you do a great service when you pray for others. When you bring others to Christ, as it were, when you bring them under the gospel. Because naturally, man wants to run away, leave me in sin, leave me in bondage. How deceitful, how enslaving sin is. But praise God, deliverance came to this man. He had friends to bring him. The Lord, well, he cast out the devil and the dumb man speak. Notice then, secondly, Christ's deliverance. What can we say of it? Doesn't it speak of mercy? Oh, there's mercy for poor sinners. Here's the Lord Jesus. What a busy day he's had. You can see that at least there has been, he's had to deal with Jairus' daughter and this woman who had the issue of blood 12 years, as well as the two blind men who he had met as he was leaving Jairus' house. And as the blind men go out, this dumb man comes in. Constant activity. And yet the Lord is kind for the blind. He has compassion on the multitudes that are scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They're in peril. They're in danger of perishing without those to help them. And therefore he will spend and be spent in caring for others. Oh, how compassionate Christ is. Look at this man. He had no desire to go to Christ. He's brought there by his friends. But the truth is, he's an enemy of Christ. He is under the power of the evil one. He is someone who is only worthy of God's judgment because he's a sinner. Given over to sin and possessed by an evil one. You could say there is the great outworking of the effects of sin and possession in his life. And yet, what does the Lord do? He doesn't chase him away. He's got many problems. He's like someone who's in the gutter. But the Lord delivers him. Friend, don't you see there the willingness of Christ to save? How willing he was to provide a salvation for sinners. That's why he had come into this world. That's why he was going to go to the cross. And you see him here, willing to receive sinners. Here's this publican, this man who is despised by so many in Israel, Matthew. Come. Follow me. Yes, call your friends. Let them hear the gospel. They need to hear it. I can deliver them. They've been called to repentance. They're sinners in need of repentance. I will receive sinners. Friends, should I not encourage you? You feel your sin today.
You feel your sin and are made conscious of its greatness and of the bondage it seems to hold you in. Resort to Christ and see that this one receiveth sinners.
Yes, you may have provoked him much by your sin, by your unbelief,
by how long you have resisted him.
But don't you see here? He's compassionate. He is merciful. Go to him. When the devil says there's no hope, tell him, well, he delivered a demoniac like that. He had compassion on the multitudes. Why can he not have compassion on me? If he slay me, let him slay me, but I will go to him. For he alone can help me. Friend, that's what you should do.
Notice his deliverance was powerful. The man's instantly delivered. The devil's cast out, and the dumb speak. Here he is, the mighty Savior. There's so much to overcome, but he overcomes it all. The Lord, no doubt, just spoke a word. He said to Legion, to the demons, they go and they went. How often he said, come out of him, come out of her. We find demons leaving people
for a powerful word that can expel the enemy, that can destroy forever the dominion of sin and of Satan in the soul, that can give life and liberty. Don't you see the gospel is the power of God unto salvation? Dear believer, when you're liable to despair, when you see people hardened in sin, remember the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. This man was delivered. When you feel yourself, perhaps, sin is such a powerful influence in my life. I try and make me, I try and reform, I try to flee to Christ, I can't. Remember, he's a powerful Savior. Remember, you can do nothing but cling to him, look to him, and ask him to help you. And you'll see that Christ goes to the root of the problem. What is the root of this man's problem? It's not that he's dumb. That's not his problem. It's the fact that he's possessed of a demon. This man is under the dominion of sin. He needs to be renewed and to come to repentance. Friend, that's what you need. That's what Christ is able to do. He gives repentance, he gives remission, he gives new life. And just as Christ would have said to this man and to the devil, come out, so it's for the word he works. So do you feel your need? Will you be saved? Make sure you're under the word. Because it's through the word that he works to bring souls into liberty. Read the word. Study the word. Be under the preaching of the word. And as you seek him, oh, that he would open your heart to receive the truth. Here was a merciful, powerful deliverance. And yes, it brought liberty. Look at the man. He's freed. And he can speak. He's no longer under this dominion. He's renewed with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God would now take up residence in his soul. And he can speak. He can hear. He will serve God. Now what happens when the Lord works in a soul, it's seen in conversion. Do you believe? Can you remember a day when you heard the gospel as you never heard it before? The Lord had liberated you. The same truth, but your ears unstopped, and you came to love the Lord, and you could not but trust Him. He made you willing in a day of His power. And yes, you began to pray. Saul of Tarsus prayed often. But oh, when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, what was said of him? Behold, he prayeth. He wasn't saying his prayers, he was praying. His tongue was loosened. He could speak. He was liberated. Oh, what Jesus does for poor, needy sinners. What do you need? Go to Him. The one who alone can deliver from sin. He is the mighty Savior who liberates poor souls from the dominion of sin, who enables them to fight against it, who cleanses from sin, who gives the forgiveness of sin. Go to Him. Rely upon Him. Ask Him to deliver you. And do not rest until you know that you are in Christ. Well, notice thirdly the onlooker's response. The onlooker's response. We read, when the devil was cast out, the dumb speak, and the multitudes marveled, saying it was never so near and so seen in Israel. Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. We find there's a twofold response. Surely that's what happens whenever the gospel is preached and souls are delivered. On the one hand, there was the people's amazement. Here's the multitude. They can't get over what's happened. Here's this man. He's done so many amazing things. He's healed the sick. He's raised the dead. He gives the blind their sight. And even the very demons are subject to him. There's no magic ritual. He speaks the word. And he delivers poor sinners. And they're amazed. We've never seen it in Israel. What divine power. Who is this man? That even the demons would obey him. We know that in chapter 12, in another instant, they go on and ask, is this the Christ? Is that not the response? We should have questions, seeing the evidence, leading us to the conclusion. This man is someone who challenges me and makes claims upon me. Am I submitting to him? You've seen many conversions, no doubt. Perhaps as children, they can remember when their parents were converted and the change that came over their parents. You've seen others converted. Lives changed for the good. You've seen the reality of the gospel. You've seen how it takes someone from being dominated by sin and the ways of the world and the pleasures of the world or cold, sterile religion. It changes them. They come to love the Lord and serve the Lord. There's a reality. It's not religion that's bound. It's It's a person, it's Christ. A relationship with Him. They love the Lord. They serve the Lord. They want to live for Him. Their lives are changed. Changed for the good. Changed for the better. You've seen these things.
Is that not neat to say this man is the Christ? The one who I am to turn to Him and to flee to Him. Are you seeking the Lord tonight? Remember what He's done for us. Rather than them being discouraged and saying, well, it was for them, is it for me? Rather say, here's what God has done. What He did for them, He can do for the likes of me, Lord. Lord, come and work in my soul. Deliver me.
Be amazed. But don't just be amazed and stare and see. That's amazing. Make sure you have it for yourself. Because only to admire what God has done in others will lead you to hell. Because you yourself will be still in sin, not saying, this is what I need and I must have it. Oh, be amazed. But let it lead you to Christ. God forbid that you should be like the Pharisees. Look at their slander. They can't deny the reality of the miracle. There's a change that's come over this man. But they're full of hostility to Christ. They don't want to hear anything about Christ. Oh, it's for the prince of the devils. It's for the devil himself that he's doing such things. They see absurd things. Anything. They will keep them from considering who Christ is and what He demands of them. Then beware of ignoring what God's Word says. Beware of ignoring the reality of the miracle of conversion. Greater works than these should He do, because I go to my Father. But the miracle of conversion, a greater work. And even the cast, and even the raising of the physically dead, and the casting out just of a demon. There's the giving of life in the soul. The drawing to Christ. Friend, beware of prejudice. Why reject Christ? Why are you going on saying, He's not for me, and He's not me? Oh, you will not come to Him that you might have life. And yet you know the truth. And unless you submit to Him, you'll face God's judgment. Because at the end of the day, that the Father sees, you're just like someone cursing God to His face. I want nothing to do with your Christ. Oh, what a dangerous thing. Do not be like that. Here is this mighty Savior. Flee to Him. The one who is willing to save. You need deliverance. Oh, that you would plead for that deliverance. And look to Christ alone. The one who is compassionate and mighty to save.